And we're going to continue with some more of that rich cultural heritage. You know, the theme for this year's Florida Folk Festival is storytelling. And boy, have we had some wonderful storytelling throughout the festival. And we're going to have some more captivating stories now from one of our treasures here in the state. Lucille Fuller, if you've noticed on your program, is a Jamaican storyteller. Lives in Pembroke Pines down in Broward for over 16 years when she came from what she says is the beautiful island of Jamaica, where she learned storytelling from her grandmother and her grandparents. Actually, she's a counselor in the school system in Dade County, a master folklife artist here in the apprenticeship program in Florida in 1993. We'll entertain you with her wonderful Jamaican storytelling. Let's have a hand for Lucille Fuller.
Thank you very much. And it's a pleasure to be here again today. And I trust you will all enjoy what I have to share with you. As you have been told, I was born in the beautiful island of Jamaica. And Jamaica is in the Caribbean or West Indies, whatever you want to call it. It's a very mountainous island, and it has wide expanse of beautiful white sand beaches. And those of you who have never been there, I'm sure you will enjoy going there. There are lots of good food, good reggae music, and everything like those. As I often tell my children, that life in Jamaica when I was growing up was not as it is here today. We never had the pleasure of the amenities that youngsters here have today, like television, Nintendos, and a lot of those things. We had life, you would say, much harder. We had to carry water. We had to use improvised lamps in place of electricity. And of course, I'm talking about when I was growing up as a child. I don't mean now. Right now, everything is everywhere. But when I was growing up in the hills of Portland, like nearly 60 years ago, that's the time I'm talking about, when we had to use a coconut brush to shine the floor and those type of stuff. Back there, then, the recreation we had was storytelling. So when we have finished everything we have outside to do, we would look forward to our parents and grandparents telling our stories. There were various characters, of course. We had, for example, Brother Tukuma, which was a spider. Brother Nancy, he himself was a cunning spider. Brother Dryhead, Brother Piece of Foot, Brother Tiger, Brother Dog, all these animals that take on the characteristics of human beings. And those were some of the type of stories that we usually listen to. For example, most of the houses then had zinc roofs. And when it was raining, we could hear the rain coming down on those roofs like this. And that was an indication to boys and girls that it's raining and it's story time. And we would try and finish whatever we had to do outside, because sometimes they tell us ghost stories, dopey stories. And I want to tell you, whenever it's ghost stories, nobody wants to go back outside for the night. You are very scared. If you should try to get back outside and there's a little rumbling in the bushes, a little leaf shaking, you would just get real afraid and ready to run around and to get back inside. So we would make sure that all the chores were finished outside and we never had to go back when they were telling us ghost stories. But we usually like to hear them anyhow. And some of those stories we were told were things that happened back there when our great-grandparents were in slavery. and the slave masters and the Maroons and how people reacted, people who did not want to work on the plantations and tried to find cunning and witting way to really get away from the plantation, get up into the hills. Of course, Jamaica has mountains up to over 7,000 feet, and they would hide out in the hills and so on. Okay, I do not have a lot of time, and I'm going to tell you a story about one special character, and his name was John Doogood. John Doogood, he had a wife and children. He was taken from his home someplace in Africa and brought to Jamaica. He decided that he would not work. He would not go out into the hot sun and do the work like everybody else. John Doogood had a drum. And John would beat on his drum. Doogood, 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 Doogood. And that's all John would be saying on his drum. Doogood, 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 Doogood. And some of the others were a bit perturbed. They had to work, and John could beat on his drum. He was placed on a plantation with his master, whose name was Mr. Malcolm. Mr. Malcolm had a wife. She wasn't very caring as Mr. Malcolm was. So day after day, Mrs. Malcolm would be upstairs and notice John on his drum beating Doogood, 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 Doogood. So Mrs. Malcolm got furious, and she said one night to her husband that you have to do something about John Doogood. We will not have him here beating his drum saying Doogood, Doogood, Doogood. So Mr. Malcolm thought about it. What can we do? I want to please my wife, and at the same time, I do not want to be too hard on John. So Mrs. Malcolm said, I want you to beat John. Get the Cato 9 and get two men, lay John out, and beat him with the Cato 9 on his bare back. Okay, Mr. Malcolm spoke to the men, and the following day, they decided to beat John Doogood to stop beating the drum. And they had John stretched out. And with the Cato 9, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, the whip went down on John's bare back. Batai! 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 Funny enough, John was not crying. But way upstairs was Mrs. Malcolm. And each time the whip got on John's back, badai, Mrs. Malcolm went, wee, oh, I, oh, ah, stop, stop. And so the men had to stop. But it was strange. They didn't understand what was happening. It's like the whip was getting on Mrs. Malcolm, because John was there, but he wasn't wriggling, turning, crying, or doing anything. So they stopped beating John, but it made Mrs. Malcolm more furious. So that night she said to her husband, tomorrow I want you to beat John yourself. Put the lashes on yourself, because I cannot understand what's going on. So as all good husband, of course, he wanted to please his wife. And the following day, he had John stretch out, and he himself used the Cato 9 on his back. The lashes went, batai, as before. Batai, ooh, ow, ay, upstairs, that's what happening. Batai, batai, and John. But upstairs, Mrs. Malcolm was crying. She said, stop, stop, stop. I will not go through this another time. I am going to banish John. I will banish him from this plantation forever and ever. So Mr. Malcolm agreed. In the meanwhile, John went back to the beating of his drum. Do good, do good, do good, do good, do good. Hey, Mrs. Malcolm ordered Mr. Malcolm to get John away. And she said, tomorrow, you are going to leave. You will be banished forever. By this time, Mrs. Malcolm had two sons. They loved to go hunting. They hunted up in the hills of the Blue Mountains for wild hogs and conies. And they always go hunting, stay overnight sometimes, and come back the following day. On this particular occasion, they were gone the day before. Mrs. Malcolm called her housemaid. She said, John will be banished as of tomorrow. I want you to bring me some flour. I am going to make some journey cake for John so that he can get to eat when he leaves here. The housemaid took the flour to Mrs. Malcolm. She said, bring me some sugar. I'll make him some wash. So sugar and water, they call that wash. And the flour, she mixed it, and she was about to knead the flour with her own hands. And then Mrs. Malcolm went to the cupboard in her kitchen. She took down a little vial, and in that vial was some poison. And she poured it into the flour and the water. And she continued to mix the dough. And she mixed and made John 4 journey cakes. 4 journey cakes. They are just like the biscuit you buy at the McDonald's. And in a short pan, she put them in. She mixed the wash, put it into another short pan. And the following morning, John was summoned. And the housemaid handed the short pan to John with the lemonade, we would call it, but they call it wash, and the 4 journey cake. And Mrs. Malcolm said, take this and go, 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 never to come back. And so he left. And as he departed, he beat on his drum. Do good, do good, do good, do good, do good. While he walked away from the plantation, he picked up some white pebbles and put them in his pocket, little stones, and he sung and played his drum through the bushes. The sea was over there. He could not swim. He had no boat. And the mountains were over there. So he took to the mountains, and he traveled all day. And when night came, he rested. And the following day, he started to travel, beating on his drum. By this time, the 2 boys that were hunting should have returned from the day before, but they were lost in the woods. They could not find their way back. And they were perturbed. This was the beginning of the 3rd day for them. And so they thought, what could they do? Then far in the distance, they heard the beating of John's drum. Do good, do good, do good, do good, do good. The younger boy said to his brother, I hear the beating of John's drum. It's over there. Let's walk in the direction of the drum. And so they walked with whatever strength they had in the direction of the drum. And they came upon John. And they were exhausted. They said, John, John, do good. We are glad to find you, but we are weak. We can hardly talk. We are starving. We've been out here 3 days. We have no food. Do you have any food to help us? And John said, Master, all I have are the four journey cake that your mother gave me and this can of wash. I will give it to you. You are young. You must live. And God will provide. So John put his drum down and he shared two journey cake for the older boy and two for the younger boy. And they both had the wash. They were so thankful. And they were about to leave. They said, thank you, thank you. We are so thankful. Yet, we do not know how to get back to the plantation. We are lost. We have been lost for 2 days. Can you help us, John? And John said, never mind, master. If you follow the path of the pebble, those white pebbles he put in his pocket, he was dropping them along the way. He said, if you follow the path of the pebbles, they will take you back to the plantation. And so, with grateful hearts, the two young men started out. They ate, they drank, they were refreshed, they felt strength in their bodies, and they started walking toward home. And they walked for the rest of that day. They stayed in the night, and the next morning, they were going. But as they were traveling, the older brother noticed that his younger brother was not keeping up with him. Then he said, what happened? He said, my brother, I'm hurting. I'm hurting. I cannot go any further. And the older brother lifted his younger brother on his shoulder and he started walking with him toward the plantation. But after a while, the weight on his shoulder became heavier and heavier. And then when he stopped and put him down, he noticed his brother had died. It was with tears in his eyes, he took some leaves, some bushes, and covered his brother, and then continued to walk toward home. When he was near home, Mrs. Malcolm was upstairs, and she looked. She said, oh, my son is coming, thank God, my son. And she ran downstairs, and she ran, and she hugged her son. And she said, thank God you are here. But then she stopped, and she said, where is your brother? And the older son said, mother, I'm sorry, but he fell sick, and he died. I left him in yonder bushes. And oh, my mother, I am hurting. Just now, I'm hurting myself. Oh, help. And they put him on a chair to sit. And then Mrs. Malcolm said, son, what happened? Did anyone hurt him? Did anyone hurt you? What happened? Did you eat anything? Are you starved? He said, no, mother. The only thing we ate, I'm sure it was good food because it was John Do-Good who gave it to us and he told us it's you, mother, who gave it to him. So we knew it was good food and that's why we ate it. And Mrs. Malcolm threw her hands in the air. She said, oh, my God, I have killed my son, my own son. Only if I'd listened to John Do-Good to say, Do-Good, Do-Good, my son would be alive today. And just then, the second son collapsed, and he too fell off the chair. Then Mrs. Malcolm shared with her husband what she did to the flour she used to make the journey cake for John. And right then they noticed and they saw and they realized and they got the message that John was giving all the days, which was do good, do good, do good, do good, do good. If only Mrs. Malcolm had listened, then her two sons would have lived. Ladies and gentlemen, whenever I tell this story to boys and girls anywhere, I end it by saying, do all the good you can to all the people you can, in all the world you can, just as long as you can. Thank you very much.
A wonderful message, and let's have another hand for Lucio Fuller. Pembroke Pines, Florida. More of our wonderful heritage of storytelling here in the state of Florida.